Blog Talk Radio.
Almighty fortress in our God, of whom one never failing. Our helper, he comes with us, Lord of lords, all this prevailing. Though still our ancient song does seek to work us wrong,
dear saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother in Christ, your servant in the Lord, your humble communicator, I, Radio Reformer, am in studio to talk to you today, to present to you another proposition. In fact, it's proposition number 33. We have been making our way, my brothers and sisters, we've been making our way through our very own tailor-made 95 thesis. It is a tailor-made 95 thesis to deal with the abuses and the malpractices and the heresy and the apostasy and you name it, to deal with all that stuff, all of the Romish leavening that is going on in the African American church. Can I get an amen out there? Can you say amen, brother? Well, thus far we presented 32 propositions, and I got to tell you, I am shocked. I thought that this organization was a force to be reckoned with. I thought, but I thought wrong. One of the few times in life that I have been mistaken. I thought this was a beast of an organization. I thought it was a beast. I thought it was something that I was going to have to tangle with, do warfare with. But in reality, this organization is nothing more than a bunch of cockroaches, little tiny cockroaches, which really, they pose no threat. Cockroaches, you know, when you're dealing with a lion, when you're going mano a mano with a lion or a leopard, right, or a bear, like David did. David fought the lion. Okay, so you get prepped. You get ready. You get psyched out of your mind because you're taking on a lion. You're taking on a bear. You're taking on a Goliath. And that's what I thought that this organization was. I thought I was in for a good old rock'em sock'em, dragged out, polemical fight. Only to find out. Because I'm dealing with little itty-bitty cockroaches. All I got to do is squash them. All I got to do is step on them. When I turn on the light, they run. When the lights are off, they're having a party. They're dancing a jig. I mean, they're having the Joint College of African American Bishops. When the lights are off, they're just having a grand old time. I can hear the music. I can see them. I can hear them dancing. Turn the lights on. Turn the spotlight of scripture on, and they're running like cockroaches. So what I got to do? I got to step on them. Got to step on them. And step on them we will. And step on them we will. Well, this is proposition number 32. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine seeing a fight where in the first round, one pugilist, one person in the ring throws 32 consecutive shots to the head. And the other person is just standing there taking 32 shots to the head. One is throwing 32 punches, landing 32 punches, and the other one is sitting there not knowing what day of the week it is. I mean, they're just standing there. They're standing there by the grace of God, taking one shot to the jaw after the other. They look dazed. They're ready to go down for the count, and it's only proposition number 32. But that's what it is. I mean, we've done 32 propositions. 32. Today is number 33. I've given them 32 shots to the head. Body shots, head shots in the first round. And the only thing that's going to save them is the bell. But there is no bell in this match. There is no bell. There is nothing that's going to save them. Because I'm going to just keep landing body shots, uppercuts, jabs. I mean, that's it. I'm going to pulverize them. Because they deserve it. At least block it. I mean, you know, when my father taught me how to box, when my father was teaching me and my brothers how to box, he never taught us to block punches with our faces. Yeah, if you intend to block punches with your face, buddy, you're going to be knocked out. Got to use your hands. Got to block punches with your hands. Got to go into defense mode. Well, they're just standing there. The Joint College of African American Bishops. I mean, they got so many faces. I mean, I'm punching each one. They're still standing as an organization, but I just keep pounding on them and pounding on them. Well, let me thank our listenership for all of those of you who are tuning in from Norway. And boy, do we have a ton of people tuning in from Norway. We have people tuning in from Germany, from Great Britain. We have people tuning in from South Africa, Canada. You know, listen, they're tuning in from all over the Caribbean, and they're tuning in, of course, from the grand old United States of America, the good old USA. The good old USA. Well, before I go into today's proposition, let me please give you a heads up. Let me give you a heads up. Tomorrow, and every subsequent Tuesday after that, Sister Marie, great Sister Marie, whoa, what a researcher she is. What a researcher my sister is. What a blessing in Christ. I'm blown away by the stuff that Sister Marie can dig up. She can just dig up stuff. She missed her calling. She should have been a private eye. She missed her calling because she can just dig up stuff. Well, Sister Marie on Thursday launched a brand new series that will be an ongoing series. She launched it on Thursday, and it's called End Time News Report. End Time. She launched it this past Thursday, and boy, the numbers, the people tuning into that program, that first inaugural program on Thursday, were just as high as her regular broadcast on Friday. You know, on Friday, our numbers here on Reformation News every Friday, the numbers are just phenomenal. Well, she did it 2 days in a row. Sister Marie did it on Thursday, and she did it on Friday. The numbers were almost identical, of course, the numbers being a little better on Friday because that's a longstanding program. But she just kicked this one off on Thursday, and we slotted her for every Tuesday. So come tomorrow and every subsequent Tuesday, Sister Marie is going to be on doing a program called the End Time News Report, where she's going to be letting you know what's going on around the world concerning the church, concerning end times, concerning the internet and how they want to shut down the internet and how they want to, and the reason why they want to shut down the internet is to shut us up. It's to silence, it's to muzzle the remnant. Well, every Tuesday, you can tune in to the Reformation News broadcast. Every Tuesday, Sister Marie will be on, and she's going to be doing the End Time News Report. And all she does is she'll give a little brief introduction, and then we'll go right to the audio, and you won't believe your ears. When you hear what Sister Marie is playing on the broadcast, you won't believe your ears. And this is going on in the church, and this End Time News Report is a weekly report. In other words, she's going to gather all the news pertaining to that week, so it's a fresh news broadcast. You know, like how we need a fresh revival. We need a fresh visitation of God. Well, every single week, Sister Marie is going to give you a fresh dose of global news, but not just global news, but global news that ties in with the end times, the appearance of Antichrist, the great apostasy in the church, the great falling away. So you don't want to miss Tuesday nights, and of course, you don't want to meet Fridays, where we have a great time on Friday. The audience just loves Friday. They just love Friday. And of course, little old me, I'm working my way through this 95 thesis. And I just love it because it's my assignment from God. See, I mean, I could do this till the cows come home. And, I mean, it's amazing to me how I'm socking these guys in the face. I mean, I'm hitting them hard. I can see them, they see the punch coming, and then I can see how their face just gets all distorted when I land the blow. And I mean, and then you see the drool coming out of the side, and they're asking what day it is. And, they're asking me, you know, where am I? And, but I just gotta, you know, I just gotta keep hitting them. They deserve it. Well, the last proposition read like this. Proposition number 32 read like this. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation. Now, why is it not an evangelical reformation? Because, my brothers and sisters, it's very simple. If you look at the Joint College of African American Bishops, they don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are not evangelical. To qualify, to be evangelical, to even qualify to bear that name, to bear that label, to even qualify, you have to preach the gospel, the pure and unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it means to be evangelical. So that claim goes out the window. But they also claim not only to be evangelical, but to be an evangelical reformation. Well, that second claim, that the fact that they are a reformation, that too goes out the window because they're not in the business of straightening out anything. In order to be a reformation, you have to be in the business of making crooked things straight. And they don't do that. In fact, they do the opposite. They're in the business of taking straight things and twisting them. That's their assignment. They work for Satan. They work for Satan. Let me read Proposition 32. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not an evangelical reformation, but an end-time tool of Satan to do what? Well, to trouble the saints. To trouble means to mess with their minds, to give the saints pause. You see, when you receive the gospel, when you receive the pure and unadulterated gospel, when you receive the gospel, which is quite simple, then when people come and visit you and say, no, that's not the gospel, those people who supposedly brought you the gospel, well, that's not the real gospel. Here's the real gospel. Now, the gospel that the Joint College of African American Bishops is bringing is a Romish gospel. It's a Roman Catholic gospel. But also, it's a mixture between Roman Catholicism and Anglicanism. It's an Anglican Romish gospel. It is a gospel of hierarchy. It is a gospel where the church has several princes, several kings in the church, the Pope being the supreme king, and the Pope is an antichrist because the Pope claims to be the vicar or the substitute of Christ. You can take Jesus out the way and you can put the Pope there. The Pope will take the place of Jesus. That's what it means. It means to usurp the place of Christ, to remove Christ and insert yourself. Something we're not supposed to do, because Jesus said to us, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So if someone wants to take the place of Jesus, Jesus says, no, I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of time. I'll be with you to the end of the world. That's his promise to us. Thus, we don't need a vicar. We don't need a replacement for Christ. We don't need a hierarchy. How many times did Jesus tell his disciples? How many times did Jesus instruct his apostles not to build church on a hierarchy? He who wants to be the greatest among you, let him be the servant of all. So, my brothers and sisters, the Joint College of African-American highfalutin bishops is not an evangelical reformation. It is an end-time tool of Satan to trouble, to put question marks, to bring doubt into the minds of many who are already firmly settled and happy with the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. But no, there can be no simplicity. They have to distort it. They have to pervert it. So it is an end-time tool of Satan to trouble and to pervert the institutional black church in America, which had the gospel of Jesus Christ and had a simple church government structure, not the monstrosity that we see today, not the self-serving monstrosity that we see today. Now, that was proposition number 32. And if you didn't listen to that broadcast, I encourage you to do so. Now, proposition number 33. This is today's proposition. It reads like this. Despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed one. Accursed. So they claim to be blessed. They claim that the favor of God is upon them. And I'm telling you, they're not a blessed institution because God would not bless confusion. God, look, my brothers and sisters, God would not bless a homosexual marriage. If you have two women coming together, or if you have two men coming together, God will not bless that. Why? Because it's an abomination. It's confusion. God is not going to bless an institution. God is not going to bless an institution where the bishops marry the local church. You see, my brothers and sisters, canon law teaches, my brothers and sisters, you may not know this mystery because, again, Revelation chapter 17 tells us this is Mystery Babylon the Great. You see, what the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops have done, they have joined Mystery Babylon the Great. And what they won't tell you is that canon law teaches that the bishop gets a ring. And when he gets that ring at his elevation service, he is being married to the local church. Well, doesn't that sound odd to you, my brothers and sisters? Doesn't it sound odd to you that a bishop would be marrying the local church? Isn't the church the bride of Christ? If you know scripture, the church is the bride of Christ. So, if you are allowing an institution like the Joint College of African American Bishops to come to your church and establish hierarchy and to take your little lowly pastor and to morph him into a highfalutin hierarchical bishop, where there is a whole elevation service. An elevation service is nothing more than a wedding ceremony where the bishop gets married to the church. But my brothers and sisters, that would be spiritual adultery because the church is the bride of Christ. So God is not going to bless confusion. If the church is the bride of Christ, why would God be blessing an institution that marries off each local bishop to each local church? The same way God would not bless homosexual marriage. God would not bless, he would not bless a lesbian marriage. God is not going to be blessing a marriage between a bishop and a local church. Thus, it is not a blessed institution. God cannot say, God cannot bless, God cannot pronounce blessings on that institution. It is an accursed one. Why is it accursed? Because it is guilty of troubling God's saints. The troubling is the troubling in the mind. The troubling is telling them the gospel that we received from our forefathers, the gospel we received from our Pentecostal forefathers was insufficient. It was insufficient. Now we come along with this new gospel, with this hyper gospel, with this superior gospel, if you will. And then, you see, you're troubled. But I thought we had it right. I thought we were Pentecostals. I thought we were holiness people. Yeah, but you didn't have hierarchy. You didn't have the Pope as your head. You didn't have the Anglican Church by your side. You didn't have all the robes. You didn't have the pectoral cross and the Dagonian mitre. You didn't have the episcopal ring. You didn't have it. Thus, your episcopacy, your leadership style was illegitimate. See, this is how they trouble the saints. And they pervert the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They pervert it. Now, It is not a blessed institution, but an accursed one, an accursed one. Now, these are the scriptures that I am using to show to you that they are a curse. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, the book of Galatians, the book of Galatians, 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 Galatians chapter 1. And in Galatians chapter 1, we want to look at verse number 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. 6 through 9. 6 through 9. 6 through 9. And I'm going to play it for you in the King James Version. Galatians, Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 in the King James Version. We're just going to read four verses. We're just going to read verse 6, we're going to read verse 7, we're going to read verse 8, and simply verse number 9. Just four verses. Just four verses. Here is Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 in the King James Version.
I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
Now you see, in our last proposition, in proposition 32, we focused on verse 7. That verse 7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So we looked at the word trouble. And we looked at the word pervert. The word trouble in Greek is tarato, and it means to stir up, to disturb, to cause mental anguish, to cause mental troubles. And of course, when you begin to tell people, listen, you've been doing this wrong for the last 30 years. You've got it all wrong. You've been doing it all wrong. You're not right with God. And you say to yourself, but for the last 30 years, we were, the Holy Ghost was in the services and our churches were growing and people were getting saved. And now you come along and you say that we didn't have it right. No, you didn't have it right because you were not connected to Rome, and you were not connected to the Anglican Church, and your bishops cannot claim apostolic succession. Therefore, your leadership was illegitimate all those 30 years. See, they troubled you. They messed with your mind. They caused you to doubt the gospel. They caused you to look at the gospel and say, boy, those preachers who came before really didn't know what they were talking about because they cheated us. They didn't give us everything God had for us, because now these super bishops come now dressed like Rome and they tell us that we were missing out, that we were not legitimate, that our ministries suffered because we didn't have what they have. You see, they troubled us. And then Paul says, some will come to trouble you. Paul says, I preached the gospel, the simple gospel of Christ, but there came others telling you, no, the gospel Paul preached, that's a base gospel. That doesn't have everything that God would have for you. And in so doing, they pervert. What do they do? Verse 7 says, they pervert the gospel of Christ. The Greek word pervert is metastrepho. Meta means change and strepho direction. It's a gospel that puts you on a wrong path. Instead of making your way, making your trek towards heaven, you find yourself making your trek towards hell. The signs have been switched. You see, you had a sign. You had a sign. You were on your pilgrimage. You were on your journey. You were on your way to heaven. But here come these Romish bishops, here come these Anglican bishops, and they take the sign and they say, okay, let's put heaven really where hell is, and they just switch the sign. So you're on your way to hell because they metastrepho. They cause you to change direction with the new teaching. Now you see, it's like getting a bogus map. that has bogus directions, misleading directions. And that's what they did. They perverted the gospel of Christ because, you see, their mandate from Rome is make sure that all roads lead Rome. You want to be recognized by us as legitimate bishops? You there, you bogus bishops of the Joint College of Bishops, you want affirmation, you want recognition, you want status? We'll give it to you, but you got to make those people who are on their way to heaven come towards Rome. So they perverted the gospel. They metastrefled the gospel. They caused you to change your direction. You who were on your way to heaven are now on your way to Rome. See, that's what Paul said. Now, he's going to say a whole lot more in verse number 8 and 9, which is proposition number 33. Proposition 33. And here is verse 8 and 9.
But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
There you have it. You see, when I go to proposition number 33, and I say this to you, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed one. It's accursed. Because Paul says here, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, and so I say now again, by way of emphasis, if any man preach another gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. So despite the claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution. It does not have the favor of God. But rather, it is an accursed one. Why? Because it is guilty. It is guilty of verse 6 and 7. What does verse 6 and 7 say? Well, some came to you. They came to you, and they troubled you, and they perverted the gospel. They are guilty of troubling God's saints and perverting the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they're accursed. If you cause others to go the wrong way, you're going to be guilty of misleading them. Your blood, or their blood is on your hands. You're accursed. You are accursed for doing what? For messing with people, telling them that they didn't have the real gospel, that their churches were illegitimate, their leaders were illegitimate, that they were, in essence, less than, because they didn't have your gospel. And so adopting your gospel, you have troubled them and perverted them and caused them to go on the wrong path. When they open up their eyes in eternity and find out that they've been duped, their blood will be on your hands. You are an accursed person. And as an organization, the Joint College of African American Bishops is an accursed institution. It is accursed. It is accursed. Now, please, my dear brothers and sisters, look at what Paul says. Consider what Paul says. The Apostle Paul, as a representative of Christ and God the Father, pronounces this verdict on the false teachers. He says, let him be accursed. That's what Paul says. He says it twice. He says in verse number 8, though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, in other words, he says, I reiterate. And so I say again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Now notice, my dear brothers and sisters, that Paul does what? What does he do? He says, the we. In other words, this rule applies to me also. It applies to every preacher. Every preacher better be careful what is it that he preaches. In other words, Paul says, the we, not just Satan, not just his emissaries, but the we. There could be some among us that start out preaching the truth and can go off on another direction. The we. Paul says, I better keep my eyes on myself. I better make sure that I preach the gospel. Because if I don't, and if you don't, and as a group, if we don't, then we are accursed. The we. And he says again, he says, listen, let me put emphasis on this. He says, if we don't preach the gospel, let us be accursed. That's very interesting language. Very, 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 very interesting language, that language of curse. We're going to look at that. What does it mean? What does it mean to put a curse? Well, Paul puts we first. Notice, if you read verse number 8, he says, but the we. Paul puts we first because he would not in no way spare himself or his own best friends or his ministerial assistants of ever falsifying the gospel. Every legitimate preacher better make sure that every time he or she opens their mouth, they are preaching the true gospel. The we. That includes the legitimate preachers. That includes the Christ-sent preachers. The we. Or what else? Or an angel from heaven. Or an angel bringing some end time revelation. The we or an angel from heaven. Preach another gospel. Let him be what? Let him be what, my dear brothers? Let him be accursed. Accursed. Now, what does it mean? What does it mean to be accursed? What does it mean? Because Paul says in verse 8, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So something happens if you preach a false gospel. Something happens to the communicator of the false gospel. Something happens to that person. Again, he says in verse 9, by way of emphasis, he wants to emphasize the fact, don't take this lightly. This is not a joke. This is a serious matter. And we said before, and so I now say again, any man preach any other gospel, any man, that means your archbishop, your bishop, your suffragan bishop, your bishop who's a member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. I don't care what wardrobe your bishop wears. I don't care what ring he has. What is his coat of arms? What pectoral cross is he? I don't care about his expensive outfits. I do not care about the organization that he's tied to. It says here, if any man, that includes your archbishop and your bishop. If any man, that includes any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops, if they preach any other gospel unto you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Those are strong words. And these words exclude no one. The Apostle Paul, included himself, though we. He included those who traveled with him, like Luke, the physician, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and wrote the Gospel of Luke, though we. That included Timothy. That included Epaphroditus. That included Silas. That included Barnabas. Though we, or any angel who claims to come from heaven, because all angels, fallen and elect, you know, Satan came from heaven. Satan's fallen angels came from heaven. That's why they're called fallen angels. Fallen. They fell from somewhere. Where did they fall from? Well, it says in Revelation 12:12, they fell from heaven. Though we or an angel from heaven, because all angels technically come from heaven. So are you looking for an angelic minister, an angelic messenger with a message? You shouldn't be looking for that angelic being with that message, because the gospel has already been completely given. And the other, if there's an angel coming from heaven, which will trouble our minds and pervert the glorious gospel of Christ, he is bringing a false gospel. Now, what does it mean to be accursed? What does it mean to be accursed? Well, this is what it means. This is what the word accursed means. The word accursed speaks of a person or thing that has been set aside by God, has been designated by God, has been scheduled by God for destruction. Let me repeat that again. An accursed person is a person who has been set aside by God, designated by God, scheduled by God for destruction. An accursed person is a person who is eternally condemned. In other words, think of death row. And think of a person with no possibility of parole, a person who's already been found guilty and who's already been told you will suffer the death penalty. Well, that's the word accursed. The only thing is, the death penalty is the second death. The death penalty is that you will spend the rest of your eternity in the lake of fire. That's what the word accursed means. Let him be anathema, another translation would say. Let him be anathema. That's what the word means. Again, the word accursed, which is the Greek word anathema. Some English translations have anathema. In the Hebrew language, the word is herem, H-E-R-E-M, herem. When something is herem, that person or thing is set aside, designated, and scheduled by God for destruction. The Greek equivalent to the Hebrew herem is anathema. A-N-A-T-H-E-M-A, N-A-N-A-A-T-H-E-M-A, anathema. That's the Greek equivalent. Let him be anathema. Let him be accursed. Well, all the Bible simply saying is that person has been marked by God. That person technically is on death row. There's a lot of preachers right now who today preach on TVN, preach at the Daystar Network, preach on God TV, they preach on the Word Network, they preach on the Impact Network, who are walking around free, but they are accursed. They have a date with God. God is going to hang them in the gallows of hell. They are accursed. They have a date with God. They have a date with the lake of fire. They are accursed. That's what they are. Now, Paul isn't saying anything new here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, when he says, you're an accursed thing. He's not saying anything new because Jesus said this. Jesus said that if you preach a false gospel, you're accursed. Peter said, Peter, the apostle of Christ, said, if you preach a wrong gospel, you are accursed. That's what the Bible teaches. John the apostle, taught that if you preach a false gospel, you are accursed. You are what? Paul taught it because Jesus taught it. Peter taught it, and John taught it. And we're going to get into those scriptures very, very shortly. Now, let me play for you Galatians chapter 1. Let me play for you Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 in the NIV. And I want you to see that the NIV does not use the word accursed. Listen to the language of the NIV in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9.
I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned.
Did you hear that? So instead of having a curse like the King James, the NIV does a nice job of explaining what a curse means in modern day terms and puts eternally condemned. That's what it is. To be accursed is to be what? Eternally condemned. Here it is again. This is verse number 9.
As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
If another person comes to you with another gospel, let him be eternally condemned. Simple. Simple. Simple language. Accursed. Eternally condemned. Again, the word curse means to be set aside by God, to be designated by God, to be scheduled by God for what? For destruction. What kind of destruction? Eternal destruction. Eternal condemnation. The Hebrew word herem, H-E-R-E-M, is the word used in the Old Testament to describe that. And the word anathema, N-A-A-T-H-E-M-A, is the Greek word used to describe accursed. Simple. Now, let us look at a few scriptures to see if Jesus ever taught that false teachers were accursed. The first scripture is Matthew chapter 23. This is the chapter in which Jesus tangles with the Pharisees and the scribes. Matthew 23. This is the chapter in which seven times Jesus calls the Pharisees and the scribes hypocrites. Seven times Jesus does this in Matthew 23. Well, I want you to turn to Matthew 23, verse number 15. Matthew 23, verse 15. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. In other words, where are the Pharisees and scribes going? To hell. That's what they're headed for, hell. Why? Because they're accursed. They're anathema. They're herem. God has designated them for destruction. God has scheduled them to be deposited in the lake of fire. That's why Jesus says here, let me read it to you again. Woe unto you, woe! And we say the same. We use the same woe, the same emphatic woe. We use it to speak to the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops. To you we say, woe! Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land. In other words, you go to and fro the earth to make one proselyte, to make one disciple. And when he is made, when you form him, when he actually graduates from your program, he is double the child of hell that you are. He's going to hell, your disciples going to hell, and you're going to hell. You've both been, why? Because you are following a false gospel. Jesus says the same in verse number 33, and speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, Matthew 23:33. Notice what Jesus says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? It's a question. Well, you can't. You can't. Why? Because you're accursed. You can't because you're anathema. You can't because, listen, God has already has your name on a list. And when the roll is called up yonder, it's not because you're going to heaven. It's because you're going to be deposited in the lake of fire. Jesus says in verse 33, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You can't. You're an accursed thing. You are scheduled for judgment. Scheduled for judgment. Now, we see that Jesus used it. Now, is there any record of Peter using it? Yeah, Peter uses it. Peter uses it in 2 Peter 2:14. 2 Peter 2:14. 2 Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter. And the language is much like the language that Jesus used. 2 Peter 2:14. It reads, speaking of false teachers, they have eyes full of adultery. That's one of the characteristics of false teachers. They are extremely carnal, and when they visit our churches, they look at our churches as a meat market. They're going shopping. They're looking at women, and it's like they're going shopping. These false teachers, they go both ways. They like boys and girls. They like men and women. Having eyes full of adultery. They cannot cease from sinning. They beguile unstable souls. They have a heart. They exercise with covetous practices. In other words, they're greedy. They want what you have. They will leave you with nothing. They'll collect one offering after another, and if they clean you out, that's okay with them. You mean nothing to them. These are financial predators. So again, verse number 14, having eyes full of adultery, that cannot cease from sin, beguiling of stable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices. They are cursed children. You see the word cursed? You see the word cursed? That's the word anathema. They've been anathematized. That's what's happened. You see, they are cursed children. Not that their children are cursed, they're cursed. Well, you mean to tell me that they're children? No, they're not children. But remember what Jesus said, oh, you generation of vipers? Well, the word generation means children of vipers. Generation. A generation. These are the two. You are of your father, the devil, Jesus said to them. You are the children of the devil. These are cursed children. They're cursed. Just like, notice the Antichrist. What is the Antichrist called? The son of perdition. He will be destroyed. The Antichrist is the son of perdition. Deserving of being cast into the lake of fire. Deserving. These are cursed children. These false teachers and these false prophets are. Notice Peter says, they've been anathematized. They're cursed children. They may be running free today. They may be running these praise-a-thons. You may see them raising big money. You may see them flying in jets today. You may see them crisscrossing the globe. You may see one tonight on Daystar, and that very same preacher the next night can be on the Impact Network because they're prostitutes. They may be laughing. They may be talking about prosperity. They may be encouraging you to sow a seed. But I'm going to tell you they're cursed because every dog has his day. And it is the same with the members of the Joint College of Children. Notice, despite his claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed one, guilty of troubling God's saints and perverting the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. But you say to me, Radio Reformer, in what way do these men pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ? In what way do these men trouble us? Well, let me play a clip for you. This audio that you're going to hear now is the person who heads the Joint College of African American Bishops, and this is his little infomercial. It's a 2-minute infomercial, and in this infomercial, he poses the question, why is the Joint College of Bishops important? Why is it important? Listen to this. And he even doesn't know why. Listen to him. He doesn't even know why. This guy's making this stuff on the spot. Listen to this foolishness. When he poses the question, it takes him seconds. He doesn't even know the answer. Because he's selling ice to Eskimos. Listen to this.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
He can't even come up with an answer. This is an infomercial. He's looking up in the air like if the answer is in the air. Like you got to see this video. It's a 2-minute, it's a 1-minute, 59-second video. Why is the Joint College important? And he's looking up in the air like if he's going to find it written somewhere in the ethos. He's looking. Where is it? Is it on the wall? Is it on, Again, I'll play it for you again. Here it is.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important?
Why is it important?
Why is it important?
Tell us.
It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
To the ongoing life? It is important because it provides the ongoing life? No, my friend. No, you heretic. What secures the ongoing life of the church is Jesus Christ. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. It's being connected to Jesus, not to an organization. No, see, that's a false gospel. The life of the church is not in some institution. The life of the church is in Christ. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. What are you talking about? I mean, it takes him forever. I mean, he's looking. What do I say now? Here it is again. This is 2 minutes of heresy.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important?
Tell us, please. Pray tell.
The question.
Please tell us.
Why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
It is important because it is the life of the ongoing Pentecostal movement. If the church is to have life, it's to have life in Christ. Not to have life because of some dopey organization that can't even get its infomercials straight. I mean, didn't this guy practice? I mean, he's fumbling. Hey, he's looking. Hey, what do I say now? I mean, this is moronic. This is asinine. And when I say asinine, it reminds me of the book that we have for sale, Jackass Church Bishops. Just go to our website. Go to www.paganbishops.com. www.paganbishops. Get your copy of Jackass Church Bishops. This is the first jackass. This is the first jackass out of the barn. It's the first one. He's looking up in the air to see, where's the answer? Where's the answer? Where's the answer? I mean, if you're going to do an infomercial, be prepped. Practice. Know what you're going to say. Don't make up stuff on the spot. Oh, it's important because the life of it's the life of the church. No, the life of the church is Christ, always was and always will be. Here it is again.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question...
Yeah, what is the question?
Why is it important?
You know, when he started to make his question, I could have taken a nap. I could have taken a nap. You know how they have those power naps where you just, you take a nap for a half hour, 45 minutes, and, I mean, you wake up and you're strong. You're strong as a bull. I could have taken he could have started with the question. I said, okay, let me take a power nap. I could have, I could have gotten up, refreshed myself in the bathroom, come out, and he still wouldn't have the answer. He'd still be fumbling and looking in the air. Are you kidding me? And this is the leader? This is the leader?
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
I could have watched an episode of Andy Griffith. I mean, I could have watched an episode of the Andy Griffith Show. And this guy still wouldn't have the answer. I would come back a half hour. You got the answer? You have it now? You have your story squared away? Do you have your false gospel squared away? I mean, this guy's taking forever to tell us. Why the Joint College? I mean, this is a 2-minute infomercial. 2 minutes. And 1 minute is him looking up in the air. 1 minute is him figuring out, okay, what do I say now? What do I say now?
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question.
You know, I can go to the backyard there, and I can chop 2 trees down and stack the wood for the winter, and come back, and this guy still won't have an answer. I can chop 2 trees, I can chop them down and cut them down to size for the winter, and I would come back, and he's still trying to figure out. I can listen. I can go to Walmart with my wife, which I hate going to Walmart because that, my better half, she just has the gift of walking around the store and looking at prices and I mean I'm ready to collapse. I need God's grace when she convinces me to go shopping with her because she just prices everything. Everything. I can go on one of those shopping sprees with my wife and come back, and this guy will still be looking in the air thinking about what he's going to say. This is ridiculous. And this is their leader. Is there any question? Why do you have any? I mean, are you asking yourself, why haven't these people responded? This is the reason. They can't even put together a bogus 2-minute infomercial. They can't even get their story straight.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important?
You know, I can go and book a cruise. I'm telling you, I can book a cruise, go on the cruise, and come back. I can go on a Norwegian cruise. I can go on a Caribbean cruise. I can go, you know, on a European cruise and come back, and this guy still will be asking why is it important? I can go on a cruise and come back, and this guy still wouldn't know.
It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
Lord, have mercy. It is important because of the ongoing life. The ongoing life. Is this guy a heretic or what? Is this guy preaching another gospel or what? Is he preaching? Of course he's preaching another gospel. Look what it says. Look what it says. Look what it says. Look what it says. Look what it says in John 15. I am the true vine, Jesus said, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that in me beareth not fruit, he, the Father, taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he, the Father, purgeth it, and maketh it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, Jesus said, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, which means if he doesn't abide in the person and teachings of Christ, if he is not a follower of Christ, nor a practitioner of Christ's teachings, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire. And they are what? Burned. Why? Because that person is accursed. Person is accursed. So here is this man again explaining to us, trying to convince us in this infomercial. This is very powerful. This is a very convincing infomercial. He's trying to tell us why this joint college is so important. He's trying to tell us why.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth.
Now, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you hear the word ethos and Lambeth? Ethos, E-T-H-O-S, ethos, and Lambeth, L-A-M-B-E-T-H. It provides similar ethos and Lambert. Well, ethos has to do with culture, black culture, black culture. In other words, he says we're united together in our black culture. It provides us with similar ethos. Well, salvation, as Jesus told the Samaritan woman, salvation is of the Jews. So if you're banking on similar ethos, then you exclude the Jews because ethos has to do with black culture. And we're not into black culture. We are not into black culture. That's why, you see, that's why they call themselves the Joint College of African American Bishops, to emphasize ethos. Ethos, culture. And I'm just using his pronunciation, ethos. And, of course, Lambeth. What is Lambeth? Well, Lambeth has to do with the seat of the Archbishop of Canterbury. In other words, we are part of the Church of Rome, but where we're grafted in is through Lambeth. See, we are branches. But we're not tied to Jesus. See, in other words, he's telling you, see, now people don't know this because they don't know the code language. So he's telling you, yeah, we're branches, but we're just not connected to the vine. We're connected to Lambeth. What is Lambeth? Well, Lambeth is the Anglican Church, the seat of the Archbishop of Canterbury. That's Lambeth. So through the Archbishop of Canterbury, who's connected to the Church of Rome, who's connected to whom? The Pope, the Vicar of Christ. That's where we find our unity. You see how there's nothing here about Jesus? This is a perversion of the gospel. This is a perversion of the gospel. This is a perversion of the gospel. Here it is again. In his own words.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth.
Ethos as does Lambeth. See? Nothing there about Jesus. There's no unity in Jesus. It's about ethos and Lambeth. Is about black people finding life through the Anglican Church, which is connected to the Church of Rome.
For Anglicanism.
You see? Lambeth for what? Lambeth for what? For Anglicanism. Now, folks, the Anglican Church is dead. You go to Great Britain, you ask anybody in Great Britain, you read the articles coming out of Great Britain, you read the newspapers in Great Britain, they're telling you the Anglican Church is dead. It's dead. Now, it shouldn't surprise us. Why? Because when you are not connected to Christ, you're dead. Jesus said it in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. But this mongoloid, wants us to get connected with ethos and Lambeth, which is Anglicanism.
Ethos, as does Lambeth, for Anglicanism.
For Anglicanism. Have you ever watched an Anglican church service? It's dead as a doornail. The Anglican church is dead, D-O-A, dead on arrival. They're taking the Anglican Church and they're turning those buildings. I mean, forget about it. They take an Anglican Church and they turn it into a community center of a place where people play ping pong and bingo and all. The place is packed. You go down the road to another Anglican Church where they're conducting Anglican services and it's empty. At the same time, one is a former Anglican church turned into a community center and is jam-packed, and you have people drinking coffee and laughing and playing bingo and shooting pool, and then you go down the road to the Anglican church where they're conducting an Anglican, and it's dead because it's not connected to Christ. It's another gospel. It's an accursed thing. It has been designated For what? For destruction.
We may not impact the entire church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The joint college is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African-American reformations that subscribe to the...
African-American reformations? You guys don't straighten anything out. What are you talking about, African-American reformations? You know, there was only one reformation. It's the Protestant. There was only one, and it did a heck of a job of straightening things out. And now we have all of these African-American reformations, plural, and you can't straighten anything out.
Episcopal style of leadership. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to...
What did this guy say? What did he say? It brings what? What does it bring? Sunshine? No. I can't believe he just said that. I can't believe... He just said sunshine? Did this guy just say it brings sunshine? Did Joint College bring sunshine? No. Did he say that? Am I hearing properly? Did he say that the Joint College of African American Bishops brings sunshine? No, I don't. I must have heard wrong. I must have heard wrong. No, I must have heard wrong. Can't be. No, can't be that he said that. It can't be. No. I refuse to believe that he said. That you are my, we bring sunshine. We bring sunshine. No. Let me see if that's the case.
Subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge.
He did say it. He did. I'm floored.
Destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African American heritage or experience. For example, however, it is not so much knowledge. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge.
Sunshine of knowledge. Okay, I guess. All right, let's hear it. Don't take our sunshine. Oh, no, please, Bishop, don't take our sunshine away. Don't take our sunshine away.
Thank you.
I think the bishop was out in the sun too much playing golf or whatever it is that he does out there in the sunshine. I just think he's been out in the sun too much.
Subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The joint college brings fresh sunshine of knowledge.
Did you hear what? He's a Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Listen to this. Yeah, this is the guy sitting on top of the pyramid. Listen to this. He's the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. In other words, if you know, he's the Grand Poopah. That's what it means.
For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law. In the same way, the role and importance of the joint college, while not universally influential, nevertheless finds its importance in bringing universal orthodoxy to the African-American church.
In other words, universal orthodoxy means bringing everybody under Rome. That's all it means. It's code for bringing everybody under Rome.
Nevertheless, finds its importance in bringing universal orthodoxy to the African-American church.
2 minutes of blah, blah, blah. And, well, really, it was 1 minute of blah, 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 because the other minute he was looking for an answer. My brothers and sisters, as I read Proposition 33, despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution as it claims, but an accursed one. It's accursed. It turns its back on the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it tries to bring all of its members under universal orthodoxy. In other words, we're all coming in the tent where Rome is conducting its pagan mass. It's all about being in the ecumenical tent. Well. I have two scriptures for you. The first scripture is found in John 17. When we are introduced to the heart of church, when we're introduced to the Roman Catholic Church, notice what John says as he speaks to us of her for the first time. In Revelation 17, verse 1, Revelation 17, 1, then there came one of the seven angels which spake, one of the seven veils, and he talked with me, saying, come unto me, John, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore, which sitteth upon many waters. The first thing the angel says to John, it says, look, John, that harlot church, that whore over there, what I'm going to show you is her judgment. Notice the first time the harlot church, the Roman church, the Anglican church, the Joint College of African Americans, you know, when we're reading this prophetically, it means the harlot church is a composite church. She has many things that have joined her. And in that joining, you find the Joint College of African American Bishops. Well, what does the angel say? When you look at the composite whore, when you look at the harlot church of the end times, I will show you what? Her riches? No. Will I show you her power? No. Will I show you her witchcraft? No. I will show you her judgment. Why? Because she's accursed for preaching another gospel. Now, when you turn to Revelation 18, it says in verse number 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, this is the harlot church, come out of the harlot church, my people, and be ye not partaker of her sins, that ye may not receive her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God have remembered her iniquities. Verse 8, therefore shall her plagues come upon her in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. Why? Because she's an accursed thing. So Jesus in Matthew 23:15 and 33, two verses, speaks of those who are accursed. Peter speaks of those who are accursed in 2 Peter 2:14. Paul speaks of those who are accursed in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. And John the Apostle speaks of those who are accursed in Revelation 17:1 and in Revelation verse 4 and in verse 8. So my brothers and sisters, I have proven proposition number 33, that despite its claims, the Joint College of African American Bishops is not a blessed institution, but an accursed one, guilty of troubling God's saints and perverting the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, my brothers and sisters, that'll do it for today. I'll be back on Wednesday with another proposition number 34. And please don't forget to tune in tomorrow to the End Time News Report with Sister Marie. Love you in Jesus. God bless.
Jesus, it is He.